Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Tuesday, January 12th, 2021 edition of WKAR's Current Sports. What a night it was, right? We reached the finish line. Many of us did not believe that we would get there, including myself, but somehow, some way. And look, it was everywhere. It was a bit janky. Is a word that we use on the west side of Detroit when things are a bit unorthodox. janky meaning that, you know, there was no consistency and things were up and down and a lot of question marks everywhere. But we made it. The college football season concluded last night officially as Alabama took on Ohio State in a national championship game that really did not feel close at any point. Alabama proved that they are just on another level. And they continue to operate at that level on an incredibly consistent basis. Nick Saban, look, when it's all said and done, he is going to go down as the greatest college football coach to ever do it. I'm going to expound upon that. His legacy in just a moment, and we're going to recap what we saw last night, and my goodness, how about the Heisman Trophy winner, right? I mean, goodness gracious, what we saw from Devontae Smith was just otherworldly. It was unique, special. You don't see that kind of thing often in the world of college sports. He was remarkable, put on a show, and I just like many of you out there, I can just only imagine what his numbers would have looked like if he did not get injured. I mean, dude had over 200 yards in the first half alone. I mean, can you just imagine what that stat line would have looked like if he did not get injured, stayed in that game, and played? Wow. He is special, man. He is special. And, you know, I love the I don't know if you guys have been seeing on social media, but there is a meme that's kind of going viral. Well, it's a series of memes that's going viral talking about how Devontae Smith, you know, he was told when he was younger that, you know, maybe he should play another sport because he's way too skinny and he would never bulk up. You know, he's high metabolism. And what does he do? He doesn't listen to the critics. He goes out there. He works hard. And now he's a Heisman Trophy winner. He's won just about every single award you can win for the nation's best wide receiver. And now he can call himself a national champion. That is what dreams are made of, folks. And it's a lesson to all of the youngins out there who listen to Current Sports that if you work hard, if you grind, bust your tail, hey, there are really no limits to what you can do. Simple as that, folks. there are no limits. The only limits are those that you place on yourself, all right? So Devontae Smith, a living, breathing, tangible example in today's sporting world of that, all right? So I'll talk about Alabama winning the national championship in just a moment, but you know where I want to start? I want to start by talking about Michigan State hoops because, you know, in today's current sports, I'm going to give you a breakdown of my thoughts on Michigan State men's basketball. You're going to get my thoughts on the national championship game, and then later on, you're going to hear from head coach Tom Izzo as well, head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, as, you know, he tries to put in perspective what exactly is going wrong with this team. A few things I want to acknowledge as well. I'm kind of everywhere right now. Before I dive into MSU basketball, and I'm going to recap the loss to Purdue, I do want to mention that Williamston football won and got a regional win. So that's awesome. They won a regional crown over the weekend. Alex Waters and the seniors for Lansing Catholic also got a regional title over Groves Isle. Let's see here. There are some other teams as well. Hats off to Terry Hesbrook and the Ithaca Yellow Jackets. They had a playoff loss to Cass City in the regional championship game. That was a 50-24 final in favor of Cass City, but always a great year for Terry Hesbrook and his team. I mean, Ithaca is one of the most consistent high school football programs in our area, so I want to give a big shout-out to them. And also, how about Portland St. Pat earning a trip to the state championship game for the third time in four seasons? How remarkable is that? It's third eight-man state championship in 4 years as they pulled out a 34-12 win over Kind North Huron on Saturday afternoon. So I want to acknowledge a few of our local teams who were in action over the weekend as high school football is now back in our lives and high school football tries to finish its season this year. All right? So pretty remarkable stuff. Pretty remarkable stuff. Okay, with that being said, Michigan State basketball. This team is a team that I thought had the makings, had the clear makings, I should say, because this is the thing about college basketball in the NCAA tournament. Like, anything could happen. Because it's this big one-game elimination tournament, anything goes in a one-game elimination tournament. And Michigan State is Michigan State. Looking at the historic accomplishments of Basketball Hall of Fame head coach Tom Izzo, he consistently goes deep in the NCAA tournament. He consistently finds a way, come the beginning of March, it's like late February, beginning of March, he finds a way to get something out of his team that wasn't seen at the beginning and middle of the year. He's got a method. All right? And when we looked at Michigan State this year, especially at the beginning of the season, you know, heck, they beat Duke for goodness sake. And we all know that Coach K and the Duke Blue Devils, they are the thorn in Tom Izzo's side. That's clearly Tom Izzo's kryptonite. They beat Duke. But, you know, it's also turning out that, you know, Duke basketball this year may not be the Duke basketball that we're accustomed to seeing. Duke right now is, what, 5-2 on the year, the 19th. Ranked college basketball program in the nation. The Spartans have actually fallen out of the Associated Press top 25. How weird is that to say, right? You don't normally hear that. So when it comes to Michigan State basketball, you never want to count them out. Because I hear a lot of people coming to me and saying, Al, this MSU men's basketball team doesn't look great. I don't see how they're going to win a national championship or come close to making noise come March. And I hear all that and I say, yeah, but it's still so early. Because it is. Are they struggling? Yes. And do they need to turn it on like now? Because if Michigan State continues to struggle the way they are right now, we could be talking about them as a bubble team. And how weird is that to say? It's got to change. Because we also know how good the Big Ten Men's Basketball Conference is. Big Ten Men's Basketball is probably, no, not probably, this conference is the best conference in all of college hoops. Simple as that, man. I mean, you look at it, I mean, the proof is in the numbers. Now, you look at what's happening in Big Ten hoops right now, and there are no days off, and this is something that Tom Izzo stresses. On any given night, you can be beaten. You cannot put your guard down, period. And would you look at who's leading the Big Ten Conference right now? How about the Michigan Wolverines? Shout out to Juwan Howard and the Maize in Blue, because they are winning games right now. Very early, but they're on a 10-game win streak. They have not lost all season. Seventh-ranked team in the nation. Michigan sits atop the Big Ten. Then you have Iowa at 5-1. Wisconsin at 4-1. Illinois at 5-2. That's how it looks. So you got Michigan ranked as the seventh team in the nation. Iowa at 5. Wisconsin 9. Illinois 4. And then throw in Ohio State, ranked as the 21st team in the nation. They are at 500 in the Big Ten right now. Minnesota at 3-4, the 23rd ranked team in the nation. Then you got Michigan State. No other conference has that many ranked teams in the nation. So, if you lose games in the Big Ten Conference, the possibility of a rebound in the next game, the next performance, it isn't guaranteed. It's just not. And there are some troubling aspects to what we're seeing out there on the basketball court with Michigan State. You know, watching that game on Friday night, I really thought that Michigan State had it in the bag and they were going to get a quality win against a very good opponent in Purdue. And, you know, Travion Williams, just an animal. And I knew Travion was good, but I didn't know he was going to explode for what we saw on Friday night. I mean, from beginning to end, this dude was a man amongst boys. Michigan State had no interior response to what he was dishing out. And in hindsight, you know, hindsight is 20/20, should have done more to try and slow him down, throw more double teams at him throughout the game, make someone else beat you, because the way Michigan State lost that game, Purdue putting it in the hands of their best player, there is no way, no way, Jose, that Travion Williams should have gotten that kind of a look. We all know that. And that last play falls on the players just as much as Tom Izzo. You cannot. Everybody in the gym knew where the ball was going. We knew it was going right in those palms of Travion Williams. And I just couldn't believe they let that up. And they led most of the game. That's the thing. You look at that Purdue loss. Michigan State led Purdue almost the entirety of the game. And includes 19 minutes. Dominated defensively. Shot above 50%. But in the final, like, 18 minutes, I mean, that's when Travion really took his game up a notch. Because there were moments in that first half where Michigan State did play good defense on him, but they kept letting him get good looks. That was my problem. Even when Travion missed a few times in that first half, I'm sitting there saying, well, I mean, he's missing some quality looks there. He's still getting good positioning down in the paint. And if Michigan State continues to let that happen, that could be a problem down the road. And he was just unstoppable. Unstoppable. And I just, that's inexcusable. And then as that game came down to the wire, you had a turnover and then a foul and then another foul, then a loose ball tie-up in which the possession arrow was still pointing at the Boilermakers. And they turned three possessions in 7.4 seconds. I'll say that again. Three possessions in 7.4 seconds into the final 5 points that gave Michigan State the loss by 1 point. Williams, that hook shot off an inbound pass with 4.5 remaining, stunned the Spartans. And Aaron Henry came down, tried to drive it, and threw up, you know, a shot off the glass. No bueno, game over. And now you gotta have a come to the front of the congregation moment. Because Michigan State has to answer some questions. The Spartans have to look themselves in the mirror and answer some questions about how do we fix this. Those second half turnovers were huge. Missed free throws were huge. Missed rebound opportunities because it looked like on certain possessions that Purdue wanted it more than Michigan State. Purdue out-hustled and out-toughed the Spartans. And you normally don't hear that. And it doesn't get easier. You think Travion Williams is good? And by the way, I didn't know Travion actually played ball in the D. Had no idea. Travion Williams actually, he played a little bit. I think he's from Chicago. Went to Henry Ford. Actually, a good buddy of mine went to Henry Ford Academy. But yeah, he's from Chicago. And he's a big body. He's very polished. You know, one of his role models is former Purdue great Caleb Swanigan, who was built similarly, right? He was a finalist for Michigan's Mr. Basketball, was named first team All-State here. He surpassed 1,000 career points at Henry Ford, you know, back in 2018. Really good player. He also enjoys singing. You see, I did my extensive research on Travion Williams. They brought that up during the broadcast. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Travion, if you think he's good, oh, boy. Do you know what awaits? Travion Williams sounded the alarm. Thank goodness, though, because Michigan State has to figure out its interior defense. But Luka Garza, who is second in the country right now in points per game average, averaging 27.2 points per game. Yeah, that's who you got to deal with on Thursday. That's what you got to deal with. And we're going to see some shakeups, I'm sure, when it comes to lineups for Michigan State this week. You know, guys like Joey Hauser, Malik Hall. You know, those are the kinds of players that have to step up down low defensively. Got to be better because that was inexcusable last week. You know, those guys can give you offense, but Michigan State's interior defense is lacking. And I want to see more from Marcus Bingham Jr. as well. I mean, this dude had what, just 3 points all from the foul line? But I look at Marcus Bingham and I say to myself, this dude is 6'11", basically a 7-footer. so long and lengthy, he's got to man up more down low. That kind of length needs to cause problems. And he's got to beef up. I know he's a skinny 7 feet, right? But goodness. And speaking of seven-footers, how wild was it to watch Zach Edey out there? 7'4", 285. I mean, he's not just 7 feet, but he's 7'4". but a beefy, hefty 7'4", right? Because it doesn't matter how tall you are. I mean, if you're small, if you're skinny, man, I can still move you around. And Marcus has to hit the weight room, but that length should cause some problems. And he just wasn't a factor. I mean, he had 3 blocks, but Travion still was able to do whatever he wanted. Travion's final stat line, 26 minutes, 9 for 14, 8 of 12, an efficient 8 of 12 from the free throw line, which is surprising because I don't think he's a great free throw shooter normally. 9 rebounds, throwing 2 assists. He had 1 block, 26 points. That can't happen. And then for Michigan State, looking at the stats that really stand out to me, I mean, Aaron Henry led the team with 13 points. He was 3 of 8 from the floor. A.J. Hogard, I want to get more out of him. You know, he's now the starting point guard for Michigan State. I think he is Michigan State's best option because Rocket Watts isn't that guy. He's not a point guard. Rocket Watts is a 2 guard. And A.J. Hogard has done some great things for Michigan State, you know, being thrown into the mix as a starting point guard. He had 4 assists, but I want to see if he can score. You know, I don't want a liability offensively because if he gets a good look, take it. He was 0 for 3 for 3 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds. He's a big, hefty point guard. I want to see him do some things offensively. Joey Hauser had 9. Looking at the starting lineup right now. Joey Hauser had 9. Aaron Henry led the team with 13. He was 3 of 8. Thomas Kithier had 0 points. Played just 8 minutes. Josh Langford was 4 for 11, 10 points. And then coming off the bench, there was no player in double-digit scoring for Michigan State, but, you know, they got, what, 3 points from Malik Hall. Julius Marble had 4. Marcus Bingham, I mentioned, he had 3. Sissoko had 2 points. Rocket Watts, he led bench production with 7 points. But Michigan State has to get better performances, especially from the 3-point line, too. This is not, you know, maybe it's not like I don't think Michigan State can magically, I don't think any team can magically hit a switch and turn into these amazing shooters. You know, shooting is shooting. If you can't shoot the basketball, you can't shoot the basketball. You know, nothing miraculous is going to happen in the middle of the season to make you a better shooting team. So you got to play to your strengths at this point. I was going to say Michigan State has to shoot the basketball better, but I just don't know if they have shooters like that. I don't think they do. They shot the ball from behind the arc a sizzling 23.1%, 3 for 13. And Purdue wasn't better. I mean, my goodness, they shot the ball from behind the arc 12.5%. 3 of 24, to be exact. And to show you how much of a one-man show this was, Purdue had no other player in double digits except for Travion Williams, who had that 26. The second leading scorer on Purdue's basketball team, 7 points. 7 points. That came from the junior guard, Eric Hunter Jr. That was it. It was the Travion Williams show. MSU has to figure some things out. And I think it starts with the post defense. You know, Marcus Bingham Jr., throw him out there. Matty Sissoko. You know, that has to be number one. The second half, I don't know. Is it a focus thing with Michigan State? Now, Michigan State went on a dry spell with no field goals in a 12-minute span. That led to Purdue climbing back into the game. 12 minutes without a single Michigan State bucket. It was a nightmare on offense and defense for the Spartans. They just kept chipping away. That can't happen. If you go scoreless for 12 minutes, that's a problem between the ears for me. And again, it's a shared responsibility. This isn't just a player loss. This is on Tom Izzo as well. Simple as that. You know, for the fourth time to start Big Ten play in just six contests, Michigan State already has four losses. You know, you can't rest here. You know, I get it. You know, I mentioned the history with Michigan State hoops. You made eight Final Fours. You won a national title. Coming off back-to-back regular season Big Ten titles. None of that matters right now. And, you know, I did kind of bash Marcus Bingham Jr. for his length and lack of girth. But, look, he didn't play much in that second half either. I don't know. Throw him in the game and see what he does. That length can bother some things. Instead, he went with Matty Sissoko. I don't know. And then, you know, Joey Hauser got matched up on him, and Williams just... he just ate breakfast, lunch, and dinner all day. So it's about lineups and key situations. And that was a fail in that loss. So Michigan State has to figure it out. Will they? Time will tell. What I want to do right now is hit our first break. When we come back, you'll hear from head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, Tom Izzo. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. You heard my thoughts on the Michigan State men's basketball loss to the Purdue Boilermakers last week as Michigan State now prepares for arguably its biggest test of the Big Ten, the young Big Ten season in Iowa come this Thursday. But, you know, if you want to hear from Tom Izzo again, because I think that this loss is just as much on him as any player donning the green and white. Here is what Coach Izzo had to say after the loss.
Yeah, one of the more disappointing losses we've had. And give Purdue credit. They did the things that needed to do in the second half. The turnovers... you know, we had 10 of them in the second half, and that really hurt. Never gotten into a rhythm. Our defense was phenomenal. Hold the team to 33% and 12 from the three and lose. We didn't rebound it very well. We have a rule here that the day of every game we work on free throw cutouts. Now I think the guy was over our back. I'm anxious to see the film. But I said they cost people games all the time, and that one cost us one. I thought we called a timeout. We told them to, and just had some plays at the end. I thought people were over Rocket's back, but you know what? We didn't deserve to win. They deserved to win because they made winning plays, and we missed. We had three great free throw shooters, and Aaron, Joey, and Rock each missed the second one of a one or two shot, And I think you got to give a lot of credit to Travion Williams. Love the kid. Plays hard. Keeps his mouth shut. Plays well against Michigan and Michigan State. Deservingly so. And he was the difference in the game. To guard the three-point line like we did, to do the things we did, and not win. That's what happens when you turn the ball over. You never get into a rhythm offensively. And you got to give their defense credit, too. So, disappointing loss, but we're playing harder, and I'm going to find something positive in it. Not a lot, though. Questions?
I'll start with a question from Tony. Yeah, Coach, hindsight always 20-20. Bingham and Sister Coast, potentially Bingham played so good in the first half. Do you regret maybe not putting him in the second half, a little defense on Williams when he got hot in the second half, Bob?
Well, they were moving so much. You know, we had some struggles with those guys on some things that what we didn't want to do is give up a three because we didn't think they could keep beating us with the two. So I don't know. Hindsight, I'll look at the film and figure it out. But, you know, a week ago you guys would ask what the hell Bingham's doing in the game. So I didn't. I did what I did, and it's all falls on me, so blame me for it. Didn't mean it like that, Stoney, but I'm not in a very good mood. Well, the turnovers. I mean, of the 10 turnovers, I think 8 of them were in about that 10-minute strand. So we didn't even get any shots. Took 41 shots for the game, and I thought their defense was part of it, but we turned it over traveling. We made some foolish turnovers. But I don't know. I got to watch the film before I say things I don't really understand and know. I don't know, maybe their defense was even better than I thought. I thought we took a couple of bad shots. They get you out of control. I thought we did that a little bit. But I don't know, get to the line and make some of those big free throws late. You box out once and you still win the game. So, you know, it's always been like this. It was a football game on hardwood. It's been that way for 30-some years. And they made the big plays at the end. A couple of loose balls. You know, we said if the ball goes on the floor, we're going to get a timeout. We didn't get it. I don't know. I don't know until I watch the film.
Up next, Chris
Lurie. Not often you see a team get three possessions in a 20 seconds, 19 seconds span that Purdue got there down the stretch. I wonder if you can kind of walk through maybe those last 20 seconds a little bit in terms of what happened.
Well, they got an offensive rebound. That was one. And then they, you know, we had the ball out, and they, I don't know. I couldn't see. You guys might have saw replays of whether they knocked it out of Rocket's hand. It looked for me like they were over his back. I couldn't see it. So I don't know. I didn't like the call at all. And then they get it in, and, you know, Aaron, on that one foul, he had the ball almost, and it just, basketball gods weren't with us. And there was a couple of those things that were an inch either way, and it went the other way. And you got to give them credit. You got to give Travion credit. He came up with a lot of those. We didn't come up with them. So I don't even know what happened. I know Rockets play. I know the missed free throw. I know them getting it out and then getting it out again. I don't know.
Next, Lindsey Ellison.
Hey, Tom, I'll see if I can point out some positives. Michigan State values were on display with the solidarity at the beginning of the game, the solidarity circle. Just touching on the logistics of that and resilience at the end, do you think your guys were close to being resilient?
As far as before the game, you know, I was so sickened by the ridiculous events in Washington, D.C. And when I talked to my team, I made the decision. I just said, maybe a bunch of 20-year-olds can teach a bunch of adults at two teams, and I talked to Matt about it, that have gone head-to-head for 30 years that I've been here, hate each other during the game but respect each other. You know, I feel sad that our country is so screwed up that These poor kids, what do they got to look forward to? You know, was that fair, what happened there? Was it handled the same way it would have been happened if there were different circumstances? I thought, no. And so I said to Matt, hey, let's go out there and show the old people that these young people need role models. They need to look at something and understand it. And I think if Michigan State and Purdue can battle with respect, maybe one day the Democrats and Republicans and whatever other people are out there can start doing what's best for our country instead of what's doing best for themselves. Tonight I thought both teams did what's best for college basketball and our country and not selfishly for themselves. So hats off to the 20-year-olds. When I talked to my team about it, they were 100% for it. When Matt talked to his team about it, they were 100% for it. So, you know, we lost a tough game, and I really don't want to talk about this, but I do think we blame kids for changing. It's the adults that change. It's the adults that do the things that have been done. And so maybe we better look in a mirror and quit blaming the young people and start blaming us, because it's us that can control some of those things. And that's the only thing we did today. We just felt bad for people doing the destructive things they did. And our 20-year-olds and my own kids have to watch that and think that's normal. That's the way our country is. So that was the only reason for that. As far as the resiliency, you know, we didn't bounce back real good. I mean, we did get back up to a 6-7 point lead, I think. And I mean, they made some plays, and we just didn't make plays. And I don't have any blame for anybody. I thought, you know, for the most part, we can't play much harder than we played. But playing hard is only part of the job. You got to play hard. You got to play good. And you got to play smart. And turnovers, you know, have been a problem in the last two games. I knew Purdue's defense, the way they come at you. But our turnovers weren't caused by their defense as much as they were caused by, I think, just some foolish plays. So we'll look at that, see if we can correct it.
Thank you, Tom. I'm next, Brendan Quinn.
Well, I feel silly asking the basketball question that you're not asking, but when you're in the last handful of minutes there and you stuck with that with the small lineup, what did you like that they were doing out there?
No, we just didn't want to give up a three. We didn't feel as comfortable with some of the other guys. Joey had done a good job on him, to be very honest with you, but then he got his fourth foul, and Malik had been playing pretty good, and they ran some stuff, got it high to low, and, you know, I thought there was a lot of pushing off both ways, and, you know, we didn't want to give up a three, and we were afraid with other bigs we might do that because they were going with Wheeler in there, who's a shooter. So that was the decision I make. Like I said, I'm all good with critical decisions. I'm not like half the people where if I didn't make the right one, I'll man up to it. And if I did make the right one, I'll look at it on film and tell you why. But I'll tell you this, game should have never come down to that. If we don't turn the ball over, if we move the ball like we did the first half, game should have never come down to that. And if you cut out on the free throw line, you win, and we don't ask these kind of questions. And yet I don't blame it for asking them when we don't win, because we played well enough to win and we didn't do the things we needed to do. But that is the reason for it. You know, they put big guys in there too, but sometimes our skinny big guys, you know, you got to remember when Markey was in there a lot, Travion wasn't in there as much because he was in foul trouble. And Travion's a load. And we just felt we had, you know, like I said, I thought Joey did a hell of a job on him when he was on him. Then he got his fourth foul, and we just went with what we thought. We were worried about free throw shooting, and Mahdi and Markey aren't as good at free throw shooters. And so that's a decision I made.
So I want to ask you guys, what are your thoughts? You just heard Coach Izzo. You just heard from me. Do you think the Spartans can turn this thing around? Are they a bubble team? Where are you now expecting them to finish in the Big Ten year? Call in. Leave us a voicemail at 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Leave us a comment anywhere there on our Facebook page. You can also tweet us. Join the conversation on Twitter by tweeting me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or you can tweet the show at WKAR News. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, you'll get my thoughts, final thoughts on last night's national championship college football matchup out in Miami at the Hard Rock Stadium, in which Alabama proved to be victorious yet again over Ohio State. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And you know what? Before I dive into just brief thoughts on last night's national championship game, I want to let you guys know that with the House possibly moving forward on impeachment this week, NPR is they may be airing some special coverage. And this special coverage may preempt Current Sports. So if that does indeed happen, I'll keep you guys posted. Of course, we have the inauguration coming up next week, Wednesday. And, you know, NPR is planning on airing special coverage beginning at 11 a.m. and it could end around 1 p.m., but we may be off the air then. So I'll keep you guys updated. There's a lot happening in our nation, as we know, and we want to keep you guys informed. And if we got to put Current Sports on the bench to keep you guys informed of those important matters, we will do that. And just keep it locked to my Twitter feed. I'll let you guys know on Twitter, at Al Martin, WKAR. I'll keep you guys updated if we indeed have to push Current Sports. And who knows, I may just do a digital version of the show for that day where you can listen online, at least on our website at WKAR.org. All right, so I want to let that be known to you guys. A lot happening in our nation, as we all know. Okay, to close out the show, just brief thoughts on last night's national championship game. First off, it was just great to see it happen. You know, it was a long time coming. It was great to see the college football national championship game on our televisions. Chris Fowler rocking the mic, Kirk Herbstreit right alongside him, and two of the best college football programs in Alabama and Ohio State going at it. When it comes to the game, I mean, hey, goodness gracious, Alabama. I mean, the final was 52-24. It was a blowout. And the Crimson Tide blew the game open with a 28-point second quarter, a record-setting performance from Devontae Smith. He finished with 12 catches for 215 and 3 touchdowns, all in the first half, folks. An injury to his hand caused him to miss the third and fourth quarters, but, man, the Tide didn't need him to finish that game. He had already done his work, helped give Alabama a nice little cushion, and he could just go back, max tax, and relax, throw on that Heisman Trophy mask that he got, right? I mean, my goodness. And also, first-team All-Americans and Mac Jones and Najee Harris also contributed. Jones finished with a college football playoff championship record 464 passing yards, 5 touchdowns. Then Harris, he adds 158 all-purpose yards, 4 total touchdowns. Alabama totaled a record 621 yards. That's amazing. I mean, it wasn't really close. It wasn't close. And that gives Nick Saban now his 6th national championship with Alabama, his 7th overall. And that breaks the record of 6 set by legendary coach Bear Bryant. And, you know, Nick Saban got a bit emotional last night when talking about that. He's legendary. Nick Saban, you know, we were blessed to have him here in East Lansing for a cup of coffee. But just to call him a former Michigan State football head coach is pretty special, because he's going to go down as the GOAT. You know, there's a picture of Nick Saban. They actually, Bleacher Report, I saw on Bleacher Report's Instagram page, cropped Nick Saban's head on a famous Michael Jordan photo, in which Mike has his hands up to his face, and he's showing off the six rings on his fingers, and Nick Saban's face is on it with Michael Jordan's hand with the six rings. Pretty hilarious. But, I mean, those are two GOATs. Nick Saban, if you didn't know, now you know. He is the solidified GOAT of this thing, and he's not going to let up, man. I don't know how you catch up to a program like Alabama. They get the best players every single year. That's the key, right? You gotta do work recruiting, and you gotta develop them once you get them, which is not easy. And Nick Saban now has it down to a science, and has for a while now. But a few takeaways for me is that Devontae Smith proved that he is college football's best player. You know, 12 first half catches on 14 targets, four of those catches going for 20 yards or more. He scored on touchdowns of 5 yards, 5 yards, 43 yards. I mean, he was just remarkable. That third score gave Alabama a 35-17 halftime lead, that cushion I was talking about. Just amazing. Closing out his Heisman campaign that way. I mean, an amazing three-game run in the SEC championship game, the college football playoff semifinal, and now the national championship last night. 34 catches, 529 yards, count them, 8 touchdowns. In those games, those final three games of the year, that's what he did. Unbelievable. On the flip side, I have to acknowledge this. Injuries did hurt Ohio State. Ohio State was down 14 players, including two starters along the defensive line, due to COVID-19. Running back Trey Sermon, he left with an arm injury very early, actually after his first carry. All-American guard Wyatt Davis, he left the game in the second quarter. Ohio State still managed to run the ball effectively, though. Master Teague played pretty well. But Justin Fields, he was limited to 6 of 15 passing, 90 yards in the first half. He played through an injury in the semifinal victory against Clemson. He said that he was 95% good for this game. But look, the Buckeyes fell too far behind in the first half because of Alabama's offense, and it spiraled out of control. Fields finished with 17 of 33 passing for 194 and a score. He added 65 rushing yards as well. And Ryan Day, salute to him. He's done a great job in two seasons since taking over for Urban Meyer. Ohio State is 20-2 with back-to-back Big Ten championships in that stretch. But he was playing shorthanded on Monday. What do you expect, right? And there's a case that you can make that this is the greatest Alabama team ever. Maybe. Jones and Smith. Harris. And then they went through a line that was led by Alex Leatherwood. Jalen Waddle. You know, he made a contribution. Remington Trophy winner Landon Dickerson. I mean, this is a very, very good Alabama team. Average 48.5 points per game in a season impacted by COVID. And look, offense wins championships now. And Alabama proved it in pretty emphatic fashion last night. It's what they do, folks. So salute, hats off to the Alabama football program for the win. Great run by Ohio State representing the Big Ten Conference. And we'll look forward to a much more normal, hopefully normal, college football year come next fall. All right? But that will do it for this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Again, you can weigh in on any of this jazz that I've talked about throughout this hour by picking up the phone, dialing 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Leave us a voicemail there to let your voice be heard right here on Current Sports. You can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News, comment anywhere there, or you can even tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. We'll see you on the Wednesday hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. But please enjoy your Tuesday, folks. Be smart, be safe, and be easy, people.